What's your name, kid?
The Human Spider.
The Human Spider, that's it? That's the best you got?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
The sum of $3,000 will be paid to the terrifying, the deadly, the amazing Spider-Man!
Filmwork retrospective, and we've decided we are going to cover the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy
for the second time tonight.
Look, this is going to get really embarrassing if I admit twice in as many weeks that I've been experiencing technical difficulties with the program. Yeah, we've actually just been through Spider-Man 1. Decided to take a little break so that someone could answer their fucking phone.
It was my mum.
All right,
fair
enough.
Best mum in the world.
And yeah, for some reason, me hitting pause on the program made it crash. So we're going to start again. But we decided it's for the best, isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah, it is for the best. By the way, hi, Chris here. I'm joining Stephen Hurst once again.
Hello.
Yeah, guys, what we're actually going to do this time, as opposed to going through each film individually and talking about everything, we're just going to kind of like broad spectrum, just cover the entire lot. We're going to like go into like the ad campaigns for each.
Yep.
Castings for both the protagonists and the antagonists, or villains, if you will. We're also going to talk about each our own personal highlights and lowlights, if you will, of each film.
Otherwise, we'll basically be here all night.
Yeah, because while we did do only Spider-Man 1, it was a 45-minute conversation that you failed to save, I might add.
Yeah.
And then
we would have gone beyond the 2-hour mark. And, you know, when we did the Batman ones, we got them down to just under an hour. So I'm going to stop talking shite and let's crack on, shall we?
All right, cool. I suppose first. I suppose we should just do the ad campaigns, because with the guest each film, that is the first thing that
Excellent.
You see.
I did actually enjoy. I will actually try and almost repeat word for word what I said about the ad campaign.
Cool.
Is when the film came round in 2002, as I said to Chris the first time round. It was basically, this was when comic book movies were really starting to boom. X-Men had happened a couple of years before. This was coming up. I was very familiar with Spider-Man, but I wasn't a huge fan just because I'm half arachnophobic. But that said, the ad campaign, the very first trailer that came out, the music on the trailer was from a band called Curve. The song's called Hell Above Water.
Yeah.
And people who remember the trailer will also know, might well know, should I say, that the same track was used on the Iron Man trailer.
Mm.
So, you know, just as a huge fan of this band, that are not huge in the world, it made my day to see them having their music on the trailer. And the same thing had happened 2 years before when a different song by this band were used on the X-Men trailer.
Yeah.
So that got me a bit more jazzed towards it. But what got me really going was the poster campaign.
Stop.
Because the style of them were pretty damn good.
Yeah, no,
I would say. Until we saw the concept design of the Goblin, and everyone was like, oh.
Yeah, we got a Power Ranger. We got a Power Ranger on our hands, and nobody wants to.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted
and
that.
That's the joke that everyone says, but I don't care because it's funny.
Yeah.
Because that design deserves all the mockery that it gets at expense. But do you know that I've heard recently that they've released footage now?
I've seen this footage.
Oh, have you seen it?
I know what you're talking about.
The original test.
Yeah.
Where apparently it was a little bit more
comic booky.
Yeah. What was it like? Tell us.
I kind of like, it was
good or bad?
It's like a, I'm not, for the time. Thing is, it's a really tough costume to get, I think. I mean, you either have to go Power Ranger as they did, or you're going to have to, I'm trying to think of, do you know what it was like? Have you ever seen the film The Mask with Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. But
so it was a green face then?
It wasn't green face. It was like the Goblin face from the comics.
Right.
In that kind of material. It looked very much like a green face, but it was obviously very mechanical.
Right.
It was, because it wasn't, it was moving on its own, because The Mask was just like sitting on a desktop.
Yeah.
And it was doing all the motions.
Hmm.
So I think it would have been, I don't think it would have worked.
Right.
Because it would have been very tough to have the mouth and everything move in sync with Willem Dafoe's speaking.
Right.
And I don't think it would have looked right. I think they probably did pick the best option
In the comic, then, does the guy turn into a monster, or is it a mask?
In the Ultimus universe, which is Mark Miller's, I believe, he does turn into some form of a monster. But in the other comics, originally, it is a costume. I have no idea how he got that kind of a mask, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Outside of going to a Halloween store.
Yeah. So what did you make of the campaign for the film, then?
No, it's phenomenal. I think, as I said an hour ago, as I said earlier, I think this ad campaign, cause at the time that this film came out, I was only like 11 years old, 2002. It's like 11 years ago, excuse me. No,
underage.
10 years ago, excuse me. Right, underage, fine. But it was the first ad campaign that kind of really got me into and excited about a film. Granted, this was also around the time that I started reading comics, specifically Spider-Man, was watching the cartoon when it was on TV. So I was always going to be excited, but this ad campaign was the first that really got me excited for films in general.
And excellent.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of... you could say it's partly the reason why I'm here today doing a podcast.
And I think that this campaign was part of the reason why the film went on to be such a huge, huge hit.
Of its time.
Before Avengers, it was the top...
That's my stat from the... I said that in the first...
No, you didn't.
I said that...
No. I'm talking about worldwide. What you said, and I'm going to let you... I'm going to edit this out, and then you can say it, okay? What you said was the biggest opening weekend.
Stealing my shit.
No, I meant overall.
Stealing my shit.
All right, go on, say
no,
it.
No, don't even bother editing it. Do not edit any of this out, okay?
What Chris said earlier on, folks, is that it had the highest grossing weekend of any film ever.
At its time.
And it was about 114 million... And then we talked about that Avengers more recently had about sort of 200, but there's been other films that have had more than that. What I was meaning was it was the highest rating, the highest grossing comic book movie ever until Avengers.
Yeah.
So that's actually a very different argument.
Stealing my
but yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you go away. Have your little
stealing
little
my
tip.
Shit. Right. But no, the ad campaign. I mean, I remember the first post that was released was just of a close up of a tower, and it was just Spider-Man like peering around it.
Yeah.
From obviously very very high up,
mm.
and just the sunlight reflecting off the panels of this New York skyscraper, and it was just that was just a cool film because you kind of got a glimpse of what the costume was going to look like, and it was down to a T. That costume was absolutely phenomenal.
Yep.
It really was. I mean, when you put that against the Green Goblin's costume. It is miles above it. The costume design on that film was half perfect and half not so perfect. But no, that costume is iconic.
Yep, it made an absolute ton of money, this film. In fact, all three of them did. All three of them went over the 300 million barrier in America, and obviously even higher than that worldwide.
Mm.
Alright, what about, let's move on to Spider-Man 2's campaign then. Let's look at that. Now, this is where I did start to get excited, because they said they were going to do Dr. Octopus, and I thought, right, good, although I prefer a Green Goblin, maybe not anymore after seeing that last costume.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we're casting Alfred Molina, and I was like, ooh, that's interesting. They're going for a proper character actor again, because to be fair, Willem Dafoe is a character actor as well.
Absolutely.
But this guy's even lesser known. You know, a lot of people know him from Raiders of the Lost Ark, whereas I know him more from things like Chocolat. What really got me was the first poster design of Doc Ock.
Just the Doc Ock and
with the glasses on,
and you see Spider-Man's reflection in the glass.
No, that's another one. This is actually him. I think it's just him standing on the top of a building, isn't it? It's a full
poster.
Yeah, of the dude.
Is he
Spider-Man's head and then a small reflection in the eye?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Excuse me, I'm thinking of the reverse. Yeah, no, it's just Doc Ock and just one of the arms just outstretched towards the.
That's right.
The person viewing the poster.
Yeah, I think it's him standing on top of that clock tower where they have a fight later.
Yeah.
And I just thought that's brilliant, because I remember the design from the cartoon, and it looks, you know, a little bit daft, and the guy's got a bit of a nasty sort of bowler haircut.
Yeah.
And he's got big glasses. I was like, they've taken that design and they've brought it right down to earth. They've given him, you know, that long sort of coat.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. So I think they learnt their lesson from the first one.
Yeah, I know.
And this time round, they got the outfit right.
Absolutely perfect. I'm sorry. I mean, like,
the rest of the posters seem to be just him swinging around about with Mary Jane in his arms.
Yeah, I know. The other main poster is, I think it is just Spider-Man's. Is it Spider-Man's mask? And it's Doc Ock in the reflection of the mask.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah.
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 Those are the two main posters, anyways.
Yeah, I like them a lot. The teaser trailer campaign I quite liked as well, because you had one, which kind of spoils part of the film, where it is the scene where Mary Jane and him are sitting in the diner, and they get attacked, but that car comes crashing through the window.
Yeah.
That was actually one of the teaser trailers.
Yeah.
And you see this car come smashed through, rolls over the top of them, and you see the wheel almost hits their face and all that. And that was quite good. And the rest of the trailer campaigns, I think, are just the sort of generic.
A lot of flashing action scenes and maybe some kind of something to do with Mary Jane, and you see a decent look of Doc Ock.
Yeah, but yeah, not a bad job. Spider-Man 3, I think the main poster, well, there's two. There's one of him perched on top of a church in the black outfit.
There's one of him when he's on another skyscraper, and he has a black suit, but the reflection is the normal coloured suit.
That's right.
Tagline was the major battle is within, or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. I quite like both of those posters. Mm. The trailer took the piss because it had the scene that reflects. Oh god, that's a stupid pun.
Yeah.
Reflects the the poster you were just talking about with the reflection. And it actually has that. The one reflection is black, the other one is him in colour. I think the reflection is the black side, because he's looking at his dark half. But obviously in the film that never happens.
Yeah.
It's whatever colour he's wearing, that's the one that's reflected.
Which is the black suit.
Yes. Quite like the black suit.
Well, it was just... I was kind of annoyed.
It's just the original suit coloured in with a marker pen.
Yeah, you just got a Sharpie pen. I mean... I was really looking forward, because when I found out that Venom was going to be in this film, I was dying. Obviously, I was dying to see Venom, who I will get onto, to be honest.
I was very excited they cast Thomas Hayden Church as Sandman again, character actor, who was actually becoming a bit of a big thing. He just had an Oscar nomination for Sideways.
Yeah.
But I've seen him in a ton of stuff before, like going right back to films like Tombstone.
I know, Thomas Hayden Church, very, very good, and. I kind of got where they were coming from with Topher Grace, because they wanted to go someone that's like same kind of build, age, mindset as Peter, but just hasn't had the Uncle Ben bringing up, and that's why when he got the symbiote that he became bad. Just to backtrack a little bit to what we were talking about, with regards to Spider-Man's costume when he got infected, if you will, with the symbiote, I was a little bit disappointed that they just did a black version of his original suit, because the suit that he has in the comics is very different. It's essentially what Venom looks like.
Doesn't it have a red logo on the front?
A white one.
Was it white? Sorry, beg your pardon.
Black with a much bigger white spider on the front, and that extends and it wraps around, and it's on the back as well. And it's just a clean black. There's no, because I mean you can see the web interface of his. I was just a little bit annoyed. I did kind of want to see the trademark Spider-Man black suit. Sadly. Can't win them all. But there was one... I was getting really, really excited when Spider-Man 3 was coming out. And I remember it was announced that Venom was going to be in it. And I was all for this.
Mm.
And they released a trailer and Venom wasn't in it. Which is fair enough. Sandman was kind of the major villain. They did kind of hint towards Harry Osborn's Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember like maybe a week, 2 weeks later, there was this leaked footage of Venom.
Yep.
It went on, like, it still had like the real numbers on the top and bottom of the screen. It was not meant to be out at all, and I remember I watched that countless times. It was when Eddie Brock actually becomes Venom, and you have that bit where he's like in the
leaps
church
at the camera.
I know
the exact bit.
I remember because they did release that in a trailer then.
Yes.
The next trailer that was in it, because they had to combat that.
Yeah.
They didn't, which is fair enough, but I remember just when that came out, that snippet, that like, it was like 20 seconds long, and I just watched
it
countless times.
I don't think it was even that.
Yeah, probably not, to be honest.
Probably like 5 seconds or something. Yeah. It was quick.
Yeah, because I remember it was just literally the end of when
What was your response to it?
I got excited. I was getting very, very excited, because in that, just that little bit of footage that you see, just that little bit, he looks exactly like Venom. He looks exactly like what you're expecting. Later on. Well, I think we've done all the ad campaigns now, haven't we? Yeah, I guess we can talk about.
Well, let's talk about the good guys then.
I've forgotten what I said an hour ago. I think as Peter, he did a Peter down to a T, just like you said, because I don't think he was Spider-Man, really. He apparently, there's a lot of talk as apparently Andrew Garfield does embrace the role. Fair enough, but I mean, we're not talking about that. I think as Tobey Maguire, he's a good actor. I think he played Peter very well. being this meek character who's, he has to act like he isn't this superheroed. Superheroed, is that a verb? He's not this superpowered kid, but I think he just slightly missed the mark with Spider-Man. I think, you know, he did have some jokes, you know, outside of the wrestling match. He did have some wisecracks, but they weren't even all that wise. For the most part, he's just doesn't even say all that much, except, you know, give me back Mary Jane.
And that happens an awful lot in this trilogy.
Yeah. So I suppose
I suppose now
we can kind of go from there into Mary Jane Kirsten Dunst.
Yep. Who I think she started off okay. Yeah,
she just gets progressively
more loathsome and useless.
Yeah.
And
she's a hindrance.
Yeah. She just becomes the plot. You know, the person to save. Yeah. Because the most interesting stuff for her starts at the first sort of half hour of the first film, where you find out, you know, that she likes to date the jocks, but she's actually from a bit of a messed up family, so that's why she potentially goes after the attention from the guys. Mm. You know, and later on in life learns that, you know, they're not necessarily the people that should be seeking shelter from.
Yeah.
And she learns that, and she her and Peter get together in the second film, and she just becomes more useless. She's just there to be rescued or proposed to,
the two worst things in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, again, I'm just going to agree with you. She was just, I don't think she was, because she wasn't the character. She wasn't Mary Jane. She's just a bumbling girl. Mary Jane is a very confident woman, and you see this more and more in the comics. Although she's quite a complicated girl, she's a very confident girl, and that is not what Kirsten Dunst is in this at all. She's needy more than anything else, and that's not Mary Jane.
Isn't Mary Jane the one? Does she live next door?
The girl next door lives next door. Yeah.
Right. The point I'm getting to, is that in the comics, is it not true that Mary Jane is there, but you never see her for a long time?
Yeah, she's hinted to an awful lot.
Sorry?
She's hinted to an awful lot because Aunt May's very friendly with her mother.
Right, but does Peter see her, but we don't?
Peter, he sees her and goes out with her, but then he starts going out with Gwen in a very steady relationship.
Right.
And then Gwen's father dies, she moves away for a bit, she comes back, and she dies.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they bring back in Mary Jane.
Mary Jane comes a little bit later. Okay. There are a few other girls in there.
But is that when they finally reveal what she looks like to the reader?
No, again, because you do see her.
Right.
Peter and her go on a date, but then after that, he does start going out with Gwen.
Right, okay.
So you've seen her, you know who she is.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem to have that big a part to play. But then obviously she does much later on.
It seems, the impression that I was getting, that it was like, this was the mystery one that he will come back to later on in life and will be the one that he will marry and settle. Mm. But she's very much a mystery before any of that happens in the comic books, whereas in this franchise, she's just the idiot that lives next door that's got an abusive father, and she just likes to date idiots.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's a mystery for a great part, but then she does eventually.
Well, they've lost any of that in these films.
Yeah. Well, it's being rebooted now, isn't it? So well, you never know. She might be hinted to a lot in this reboot.
Yeah, we shall see.
We shall.
Who's the girl in Spider-Man 2 and 3? That's
the landlord's daughter.
Yeah,
she was created for the film, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure though.
All right, that's interesting. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, well, I think I'm done with her. Who's next?
Ben Cliff Robertson.
Perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Yep.
He's only in it for a short bit. He's only in each film for a very, very short bit of time.
Yep. Wonderful actor. He's got a great look. Mm. He
epitomized
emotions so well. And
that scene where he died, I mean, we talked about this already. Yep. That was just powerful.
Yeah.
For a film of, which is meant to be essentially it's a blockbuster film, but to have that one scene is easily probably the most powerful scene of the franchise, I think.
Yeah.
Without doubt.
Oh yeah, definitely. It almost brought me to tears. And what does he say to him?
He just says his name twice. He just says Peter.
Yeah.
Twice.
The first time he almost has a smile on his face because Peter's there.
Yeah.
With tears in his eyes. And the second time it's just dies. It's so sad. But Cliff Robertson was perfect casting for that. And as I said to Chris earlier, he's sadly no longer with us.
I know.
Passed away recently. So
rest in peace.
I'm not too sure I like the scene that he was in the second film, because it's the scene that Peter has. It's like a dream sequence where they're sitting in that car again.
Yeah.
And I think Ben's asking him to keep being what he is.
Keep being Spider-Man.
For him or something, yeah. And then Peter rejects him. And he's, Cliff Robertson's got that teary-eyed look on his face again.
How could you say no to that?
Exactly. And I thought, well, you cannot paint Uncle Ben out to be the bad guy here, Peter Parker. I am not going to like you after this scene. And then from that scene, it almost pretty much cuts straight to the raindrops keep falling in the head, stupid, I'm going to be a geek.
We're going to talk about montages in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Yeah, I think Martin Sheen will do a good job, but it will be Martin Sheen's version.
It'll be Ben as Martin Sheen. Or Martin Sheen as Ben, if you will.
Aunt May, Rosemary Harris.
Rosemary Harris, that was her name, thank God. Rosemary Harris, again, very good casting. I think she played like the meek, good-natured aunt very well. As I said in the film, she looked much older than Cliff Robertson did in the film.
How old did you think Cliff Robertson looked? Because I've heard someone else say this where they said, oh, he looks about 50, and I'm like, really? I think he looks 70.
No, he does look 70, but she looks older.
Really?
Yeah, I think she looks like quite an old woman. Don't get me wrong, she's not 20, but she does look much older. But I think outside of that, she does portray the part very, very well. I think she was absolutely excellent.
Yeah, and Rosemary Harris, she's has more of a bigger role in the second and the third films as well.
Yeah, of course.
Because and certainly things get a little bit dramatic because Peter confesses to her about Ben.
Mm.
So they even have to get a little bit of a fallout in that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think she was good in the role. Mm. Who else is there?
Well, it's JJ, isn't there?
Oh, I'm sorry. If Uncle Ben was perfect casting, I don't know if there is another word that means even more than perfect. But this guy,
ultra perfect. This guy, he was. J.K. Simmons was absolutely fucking unbelievable. Oh. And that was. He's.
What is it? 2-3 scenes in the first film. Couple of scenes in the first film.
And then he dominates the second and third.
Yeah.
He really does. Oh man, he's absolutely class. He's just so good.
That quick fire dialogue and the way that this guy just...
The way he talks to his wife is genius.
I know the first scene in the second film, there's Peter's coming in to sell some photographs and he's already in the middle of shouting at several people.
Is this when he's no longer smoking, or is that the third film?
No, that's the third film. That's when the secretary keeps buzzing through and he's trying to take those pills. This is not those ones. No, it's when he's still on full-on rage mode.
Yeah.
And he's shouting at people and the secretary keeps trying to call through and he keeps going, not now. And she buzzes through at one point and she says,
boss, your wife's in the line, she says she lost a checkbook.
And he goes,
thanks for the good news.
It's such a good character, isn't he? He's genius. So good. I really hope if they bring this character back in the new franchise that they get this guy.
I know, because I think Mark Webb has kind of said that, because obviously Jameson isn't in the first film because the Daily Bugle isn't, unless it's hinted at. But in the reboot, did I say second film?
It'll be the second film of the reboot.
But he will be in the, if he's basically if they cast Jameson again, which they will have to eventually. Obviously, Mark Webb, who isn't actually signed on for the sequel yet, he hasn't stated, but he's kind of said that he doesn't see anyone better for the role than J.K. Simmons, and that is absolutely true. I can't see someone else bettering him.
Yeah. Even in scenes that were annoying, like at the end of the third one when he's with the crowd, but the big fight's going on, and he's having to buy a camera off a little kid.
Yeah.
He's even making that funny.
Yeah.
And that's a dumb scene.
Yeah, I know.
That's a really dumb scene, but I'm like, oh, well, but he's there, and what do they call it when an actor elevates the content of a film? Is it a 17%er? I think it's a 17% of the code. It's like one actor who's that good that no matter how bad the film is, they make it 17% better than it actually is.
Okay.
Yeah. He's one of them.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And the rest of his cronies there are quite are good as well. You know, we've got Elizabeth Banks outside.
Betty
Brant. Robbie Robertson is Bill Nunn.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of stuff. And Sam Raimi's brother, Ted.
As a character whose name escapes me, but who I think might have been made for the film. Though I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, all good. Any other protagonists we can get to?
Well, protagonists.
What about
Dr. Connors, oh, I guess we could talk about him. He's only in the second and third film.
Yeah. A good character actor, Dylan Baker, which made it plausible, considering they cast people like Alfred Molina and Thomas Hayden Church. Dylan Baker is very much in their sort of bracket.
Yeah.
Good actor. Does a lot of good character work. Yeah, it seemed plausible to me that he could eventually become the lizard in a future film.
But the only worry is that, like, although Spider-Man 4 was planned and then panned, the villains for that were going to be the Vulture, played by John Malkovich,
Right.
And they made a character called the Vultress, which is going to be played by Anne Hathaway. So apparently Lizard wouldn't appear in that. So were they going to wait till the fifth film?
They might actually give Bruce Campbell a villain part and give him, like, is it Mysterio?
Mysterio.
Is that the guy with the big globe on his head?
Yeah, that's the guy with the goldfish bowl.
Right, yeah.
Mm. But Vulture and Vultress are apparently going to be the main ones, and then there was always...
You know, in TGI Fridays in Leicester Square in London, they've got a fake Spider-Man 4 poster. It looks very much like the other ones.
Oh, yeah. There's
Carnage on it.
I've seen that poster online, because, again, in Spider-Man 3, it's Dr. Connors who takes a bit of the symbiote. We're very much jumping ahead. Takes a symbiote, and he grabs a specimen of it and to test it. And obviously, he holds on to this, so... While all of Venom is destroyed at the end of Spider-Man 3, there's that little bit left, and there's always... That's meant to become Carnage, if that happens in Spider-Man 6, because I'm assuming Spider-Man 5 would be the Lizard.
Yeah.
But now we're on to Spider-Man 1 again.
Anyway, I thought he was... For the few scenes that he had, he was good enough, and he certainly got my attention, because I knew the actor. And so I thought, well, that's something to look forward to. And it's nice that they're putting him in there now.
Yeah.
As opposed to just introducing him randomly and becoming...
For the film, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, who's next?
Well, I guess next is Harry.
Yeah.
Because he kind of like, as I said, he kind of like ties into Harry. Both protagonist and antagonist.
I do like James Franco as an actor, but his character in this, bit of a dick in the first one, bit of a spoiled dick. Well, doesn't realise that he's, you know, I mean, all right, his dad's busy, but his dad isn't that nasty.
Yeah,
before the accident. So, yeah, I'm not really giving two shits about Harry throughout this.
Yeah.
But I do like where it ends up in the first film for him.
Yeah, no, I think Harry, James Franco as Harry, I think he's very good, because if you go to what he is in the comics,
he was a much, much, much bigger improvement for me in the second one.
Oh god, yeah.
Even just in small scenes, like there's an early scene where I think is it Peter's birthday in the second film at the beginning, and they're all around the house.
Yeah, it is.
And there's just that little moment that they have together, because he knows that he photoshoots Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Peter is still refusing to tell him who it is. And just look on Franco's face.
Yeah.
Sells it where his character's going.
Yeah, I know.
So he's much better in the second one. And certainly in the scene where he confronts Peter
once
he's unmasked him at the end of the second film is a wonderful scene.
Mm.
So that got me really, really hyped up for the third film. And what the hell? Amnesia?
That he gets in the third film.
Yeah.
That's when he...
So it kind of starts off okay, and I was like, oh yeah, but knowing full well that this film has to cram in three villains.
Yeah.
I thought, really, the amnesia plot, that's cheapened.
Just got a bang in the head, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he just turns into a complete drip.
What do they call him in the film? Was it New Goblin? Green Goblin 2, Hobgoblin, Proto Goblin, another Goblin as well, I think, that I can't remember for the life of me.
Alright, anyway, so he's New Goblin.
I think he's...
on a surfboard.
Yeah. No, he isn't actually called Goblin. It is a new name.
Really? I'm pretty sure Goblin's in there. You have to look at the credits of the third film to find out.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, point?
I think... my point... I'm pretty sure I was just going to say that, you know, he did do it justice in the bit that he was evil, if you will, when he was going after Spider-Man. Thing is, that's Spider-Man 3, that does have its flaws, and we'll get to that when we talk about our high points and low points. Alright, so Green Goblin, what are we saying?
Shite. The actor is not bad, but he puts on this awful, nasal, terrible voice, and the costume is just the worst thing ever. But, yeah, a huge disappointment, so, yeah, shite.
Don't agree with you there,
I will reference points like the first time that these two meet in the Times Square fight, the moment that they're both on the ground, and you see the Green Goblin spring up after he's been knocked down and start moving about. It's terrible, right? And even to the end of that scene where he flies off, "We'll meet again, Spider-Man!" It's just very Wicked Witch of the West. No. The one good fight they had was in the burning building, and even that fight scene didn't need to be there. It was just an action beat. But that was the best fight scene.
No, it wasn't.
That and the end fight after the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
In the ruins. That was a well-designed fight.
All sound, no music. It was just...
Yeah. The sound was very, very, very good. And it looked painful.
Yeah.
And it was getting bloody as well.
Mm.
And even when the goblin's got his mask off, you know, the guy's just covered in sweat.
Yeah.
So it looks good.
Yeah.
And the way that fight ended, I think that's probably one of my satisfying villain takedown of the entire trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Because as we've already said, and I won't complain, as we've already said, Spider-Man doesn't kill people, so we can't ever expect him to kill.
Yeah.
So obviously, we know a villain's going to go out by their own hands, one way or another, or by accident or something.
Yeah.
So, or by someone else. So fine, that one was fine, by his own glider. In the nuts, by the look of it.
Okay, I disagree with you. I don't think it was shite. Okay, yeah, the costume was shite, but I think Willem Dafoe did very well. As you said, he's a character actor. Portrayed the character well. I don't know if you've seen the if you've seen the cartoons, but this is the kind of
you
voice
said
that...
You said Green Goblin, you didn't say Norman Osborn.
No, we were talking about... we're talking about Green Goblin. Fuck off, right? Green Goblin / Norman Osborn, okay? When we talk about... You're such a dick. When we talk about the villain, we're talking about the dual character, okay? We talked about Harry and New Goblin.
Yes.
So we're talking about Norman and Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Alright?
Yeah, now my favourite acting scene was the scene when he discovers who Peter Parker really is. That Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
At the Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm.
Yeah, the reaction on Willem Dafoe's face was brilliant.
Yeah,
so yes, I will back off my shite comment.
Yeah, you will.
Right there. No, literally when you say Green Goblin, that costume just pops in my head, man. It starts dancing around in my brain and I'm just like, oh god, no.
Alright, fair enough. But
yeah,
I mean,
but no, sorry about that.
Okay, but outside of the costume, I do think everything else was spot on. Even your pitiful nasally voice that you're hating.
No, I don't like it.
Well, that's fair enough, but I think if you watch the cartoons, that is exactly how the Goblin sounds. Okay. Not exactly, obviously, but it's a take on it. But I mean, what was he going to do? He wasn't going to talk his normal voice. You can't do that, really. And he wasn't going to put on a Batman voice. I think he went the right route. Willem Dafoe is a fantastic actor. Really, really pleased with that casting choice. I think he did absolutely phenomenal. So now I suppose we've got Dr. Otto Octavius. His entire look. And then tragedy. But it's not him controlling himself throughout the film. Because remember, he has that chip in the back. Because these arms are able to think for themselves. For some reason. And obviously when the electric shock goes, that chip that's in the back gets fried. And that's how the arms are able to essentially keep themselves safe and control him. And then... what I don't and then obviously he gets electrocuted and it fries back, it reverts,
yeah,
so that's why he's able to decide to that's how he goes, because he now has conscious thought again, essentially, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think he played the part very well. The look of the part was perfect. They really made amends from what they did in the first film with the Green Goblin's look. But Alfred Molina is just a very dependable character actor, good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, playing good or bad, he did that justice.
Yeah.
But it's just at the end when the thing in the back of his neck breaks and he gets his conscious back, as you say. I'm just kind of going, I suppose they have to go here because he has to take down his own machine and then die in the process, potentially.
Yeah.
And just stuff like that, you know, bugs me a little bit, but not to the point where I'm hating the film.
Yeah,
I do like it very much, and
it's the best of the three Spider-Man
villains.
Two. No, Spider-Man
or
two
films.
Yeah,
yeah, potentially. Yeah,
potentially, definitely is.
Well, because there's bits in the middle that I have a few, you know, because there's a few bits that happen that you're like, oh, did that? That's convenient. Like, Mary Jane getting kidnapped again at the end, or
in all of them.
Peter and Aunt May just happen to be in the bank when Otto comes in to rob it, and then Otto just happens to grab Aunt May in the process of fighting Spider-Man later on in that scene. Tiny little things like that sort of bug me a little bit.
Okay,
much better villain, solid casting,
absolutely,
I think, and some really good action scenes. I suppose the one on the train is the one that really stands out to people.
Yeah, no, it's class. It's just phenomenal. Yeah. And then there is that the clock tower as well.
That was at the start of that.
It is too, isn't it?
Yeah, because he goes to meet him, and it's Peter loses this battle, eventually.
Yeah.
Because he's always having to, because you know, Otto susses out that he's there. Peter's going to put the people first.
Yeah.
So he just has to get him to the point where he can, just gets him when he's knackered, really, doesn't he? At the end.
Yeah,
of the
no, he does. That is actually a very, very smart move of Raimi to have Spider-Man lose his mask. and you get to see all the emotion when he's trying to stop that train.
And yes.
That was because obviously it was just a masked Spider-Man. You see nothing. And no, I think Tobey Maguire kind of showed his acting chops in that bit.
Let's move on to the next one.
The next one is Sandman, who, in my opinion, looked the best. I'm sorry. When you were able to CGI wise, that was phenomenal.
You know, his costume was actually the most accurate to the comic.
Even what he wears normally. Yeah, I know. The striped brown trousers. Yeah,
and the haircut.
Thomas
Hayden Church has got a face that looks like it's made of sand.
Yeah.
I was really, really pleased that he was in this, and I think he did a really good job. Mm. As you say, it looks really good, but he was robbed blind with not having much of a plot.
I know, he was just a dad.
He just wants to steal money to make sure his kid's healthy.
Yeah.
And he goes to try and do that, Spider-Man tries to stop him, kicks him down the sewer, Sandman comes back and declares, what, war?
No, I think...
But then they tie into that, the whole Uncle Ben thing. That's where we see Uncle Ben again.
Yeah, that's right.
And I bet you that makes you furious.
That pissed me off an awful lot. It really did. You finally find out the burglar's name from the first film is Carradine or something like that. But you also... Oh, they change it! I was really pissed off when I watched this film and... Oh, that was in the trailer as well, wasn't it?
Mm.
That's where we found out, and that's where people started to get angry. And that's where initially the downturn on this film started, was that moment. When they said, this is the guy who killed your uncle. I was like, no, it's not. And I suppose, technically, it was an accident, you find this out. And
The gun goes off
because he was pushed by the... Yeah, whatever. But yeah, no, that did annoy me an awful lot. What were we talking about? I got distracted by my anger.
Aside from that piece of crap. Bugger all of a plot.
Yeah, so Sandman finds himself in this sand reactor conveniently placed beside a prison. And there's so many little things in this film that annoy me. I'm gonna wait till we talk about high points, low points. You see this monstrous Sandman at the end of the film.
Yeah, that never made any sense to me. Only because the setup of this, okay? Because Peter turns on the TV. Yeah. Mary Jane's been kidnapped again, and there's all this black, horrible webbing, and she's stuck in this car up in the sky on this construction site, right? So he sees it on TV. So he's got to go get changed, then get out there.
Yeah.
And by the whole time, all the time this is happening, you know, TV crews have obviously already shown up because this has been going on for a while before it got on TV.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a crowd there, there's kids there, there's watching. And the whole time, the Sandman is part of the ground, just lying there while...
Well, he could have been doing other stuff.
Kids make sandcastles out of him and cats take a shit on him and stuff like that. What else was he doing? He's just like waiting on the ground, waiting for Spider-Man to arrive there and disturb him so he could
probably
the ground.
Probably, yeah.
Dumb bloody action scene, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Venom then?
Let's talk about Venom.
I don't mind the casting of Topher Grace. I know a lot of people like to crap on this guy, but I don't mind him at all. I thought his Eddie Brock was fine, considering how shoehorned he wasn't in the plot, because apparently Sam Raimi didn't want him in there in the first
place. No, he didn't.
The Venom thing, it was terrible. When it finally arrives, it's not that good, and it's a wasted opportunity, and the makeup when it's half Venom, half guy...
I've got a lot to say.
Yeah, well, I'll just say, didn't like that, but I didn't mind the sleazy photographer side. It didn't bother me at all.
No.
And the I hate Peter Parker thing, I was like, yeah, good, go for it. But it was just literally when it got to the climax, I was like, whoa, what a way to throw something down the toilet.
Yeah, I know. I think the general idea was that they wanted... Because in the comics, Eddie Brock is this big beast of a god. He's like the size of a fridge. But in the films, they wanted to have someone who was same kind of build as Peter, same age, same intellect, if you will. No, not even same intellect. Just the same. Put the two of them together beside each other. They look like they're friends and they hang out.
But
obviously, Peter's had this the Uncle Ben factor, if you will, the great power, great responsibility. Whereas Eddie Brock hasn't. His girlfriend Gwen just dumped him. He's been fired. He's just angry and he hates Peter Parker and he wants to kill Peter Parker. And then next thing, this happens and he becomes this quite literal, this monster. And I did say earlier on with the ad campaigns when I first saw Venom, and I was just really excited. And then I saw him on film, and there's that first moment when you see him is when Sandman finds him, and the Sandman thinks that he finds Spider-Man, grabs him and turns around, and this thing stares at him, and I don't know, he just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I mean, you're still very, very happy to see that on screen. It's something that people have waited for a long time, to be able to see Venom on screen. And I do hope that he does get introduced in a much better way in the new franchise.
Do you think the voice was right? Should it have had the same voice as Eddie Brock, which it does? Because remember, it goes on the wall, starts climbing across the wall as it's talking to Sandman,
and the mask pulls back.
Yeah, then it pulls back,
and it keeps talking.
Yeah.
No, well, does he have the same? Is it the exact same voice?
Pretty sure.
As Eddie Brock, an hour beforehand. Unless it's that.
Yeah, when he starts talking on that wall, you can hear his normal voice.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, that's not right.
No, it should have been a different, much more aggressive voice. And what annoyed me was the amount. Topher Grace had more FaceTime as Venom than Venom did, which was shocking.
Yeah.
Because also that makeup with the skin was pulled back looked terrible. It looked like he fell in terror.
Yeah.
And the way it will
come off his collarbone and stick to his cheek or something. Yeah. And just the texture of it just looked rubbish.
I know, it's really
rubber.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it just wasn't good at all.
Yeah.
What did look good though was Spider-Man, when he had that black costume, was getting rid of it, and you could see when it was gone mental.
Yeah.
As he was in the bell tower, that did look good. But why couldn't they do that? If they were going to show that FaceTime, why couldn't they have that? Why couldn't they have at least the black tower, if you will, moving? Showing life, because it is life. It's alive. He's just sitting there. And what was up with Topher Grace's teeth when his mask was back as well? All of a sudden he has little sharp daggers. But
like I said, I don't blame Topher Grace. I think he gets too much flack.
He does.
It's a poorly written part
and not needed part. I think that film would have been much stronger.
It's kind of like the first two coming together, where the first one you had a really terrible looking villain, the second one you had a really good looking villain, and then the third one you get one of each.
Yeah.
Sandman looks great, Venom looks terrible.
Yeah, I know. Again, if they do bring Venom in, because I think they will, and I know there is talk of a Venom spin-off film.
That's right.
Hopefully they can.
Is Venom a good guy at some point in the comics?
He's an anti-hero at a couple of points. Kind of like a Deadpool kind of scenario, if you will. That kind of like good guy, but not good. Right, I guess that's kind of all the castings, unless you want to talk about Bruce Campbell.
Well, his cameos. The second film was his best cameo. It was his funniest. The Snooty Usher.
No, the Maitre d' was brilliant.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Well, that was a little bit over the top.
Oh, no, that was class.
But it was good, but that was the only one that actually was nice to Peter Parker. The other two didn't really help him out that much. Although the first one, it has to be said, gave Spider-Man his name.
Yeah.
And the name that you like the most, the Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. Now the second one I quite like, because it's so protracted that you think he's going to be helpful, and then at the very last minute doesn't let him into the theater.
Yeah.
He again, 17%er.
Yeah.
He does my favorite cameo. Might even be my favorite cameo of all time. Never mind the favorite Bruce Campbell cameo, but my favorite Bruce Campbell cameo is at the very end of the film Darkman, which is a Sam Raimi.
Oh, that's with Liam Neeson, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Watch out for him at the very, very end of that, because I knew who Bruce Campbell was from the first two Evil Dead films at that point. When he appeared on screen, it's just magic.
It's just Bruce Campbell, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, what's next?
Yeah, we can talk about the highs and lows.
Yeah.
Right, high points of film one, go.
For me, alright, three. I'll mention three that spring to mind. The first, and this is in order actually, the miniature montage scene where he designs his own suit.
Yeah.
I love the music cue, and it's the only time that I will compliment Danny Elfman's music in this film, because the rest of it sounds too much like Batman and all that chorus singing from every other goddamn score that he does for Tim Burton. Great moment. Second one is when Norman Osborn susses out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I mentioned that already, so I won't go any further. And third one is that final battle scene.
Yeah.
In the church, the whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the high points for me.
Yeah. My high points are actually very similar. I only got one different. Again, to be honest, if I can, I'm going to amalgamate the two montage. One was where he designs of suits. The second one is where he becomes Spider-Man, and it's just like the newspapers and the saving random people and the burglaries and all that.
That ends with Owen Wilson on the guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Now these are in no order. My other one is that final fight in the church. I think that is just sublime. That is absolutely brilliant. My other one is the wrestling match. I thought that was good, because again, it's the only time really that we see Spider-Man being Spider-Man.
Oh fucking hell, how can we not say Uncle Ben's death?
Could that be a highlight of the franchise?
Yeah, sorry.
That's really bad.
Well, we had mentioned that already and said that it was brilliant. So
yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
my other yeah, because again, you see Spider-Man being Spider-Man, and you have as you get the name. You see him when he looks shit. with that fucking terrible fucking Primark T-shirt and the fucking ski mask on. You know, it's just so bad. Spray paint job. Yeah. And the actual, like, the banter during the wrestling match was cool. So yeah, the wrestling downsides for me. I'm gonna go first with it, if I may. For film one, obviously we've got that motherfucking costume that annoyed me quite a bit. Just because I didn't want to see an action figure. Number two, Harry Osborn being a dick, I guess. He's just being a little rich boy who is just like spoiled rotten. You know, it's just annoying. And number three, I'm actually struggling.
If I'm going on to mine, what annoys me in the first one? Yeah, that stupid goddamn costume.
Mm.
Any fight scene with the goblin, except the one in the burning building and the one at the end.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Bridge scene annoys the hell out of me when he's singing that song. I don't care how crazy he is, that was so annoying. Incy Wincy Spider.
Yeah.
That kind of all bugs me. Yeah. Apart from that, it was mainly things that carried throughout the film as opposed to actual scenes, like Mary Jane. Harry didn't get it together until the second film, really, so...
Yeah.
Why don't you move on to the second film, then?
Alright, well...
I mean, obviously, the other thing to mention throughout the series that is good is Jameson.
Oh, that's one of my high points for this second one, because, as I said, he doesn't have a whole lot of screen time in the first film. When he's there, he's excellent, but he is in the second and third film an awful lot. So, again, no particular order... To be honest, Doc Ock is an absolute highlight for me in the second film. He's excellent.
Oh my god. Jesus.
I'm so pleased with that. That entire train scene is a highlight for me. JJ as well is a high point. Yeah, I think there's very little I didn't like in this film, to be honest. And I've only got two.
What are they? Go on, and I'll do
the down my down points.
Or shall I do my highs?
Do your highs.
Right, high points. Yeah, the scene when Octavius is in the hospital is pretty good.
Oh, God,
and that is, and a lot of people say this, that is classic Sam Raimi directing with the camera shooting all over the place.
Yeah.
That's a really cool scene.
I can't believe I forgot about that.
Again, that train sequence is wonderful. Definitely. Yeah. Right from start to end. The moment they hit that train to the moment that Doc Ock gets him. The unmasking of Spider-Man by Harry is a great moment for me.
Jesus.
I really enjoyed that. Now I've got to go on to my down points, because I'm starting to think about Mary Jane, and she's in most of my down points of this, especially the scene when she's kissing her new boyfriend, fiance, in that upside down way. That just made me want to puke. I was like, really? Oh god, this girl just is abhorrent to me. And when she's moaning about him never coming to the play, and she's no good.
She's not good.
Yeah, I think that's the main sort of low points. And I mentioned a few things as we were going through aspects of two that were a bit sort of like, oh, that's the coincidence is a little bit cute.
Yeah, outside of MJ, I only really have one downside. It's not even that big an issue at all.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even mentioned it yet. You see the pier sinking in. Everything's going...
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, they're swinging off nothing.
Off nothing. What are they attached to?
What are they attached to? There is literally nothing there. That camera should have been back about 100 feet so we could see what they were... Because they're not even swinging. They're like... It's just going up. It's like they're in a fucking escalator.
Yeah. It's like they're attached to a helicopter ladder and it's going up.
Yeah. That annoyed the hell out of me. An awful lot. It's not that big an issue at all. To be honest, that is the thing that annoyed me the most in the entire film. Because as I said, I love that film to the point that
it's a crane, but bollocks, not at that angle.
No. Because, I mean, you do see them on the crane later on, and that's where Peter jumps from at the very end. But, I mean, that thing annoyed me an awful lot.
The American flags, they annoy me. At the end of the first and the second one.
And then for three...
Yep. Do your highs first if you can.
Highs. I have to say, Sandman CGI is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. To be honest, I have to say, regardless, I have to see seeing Venom on screen is, you know, a boyhood dream. That just, to see a live action Venom, regardless how it looked, is just still very, very cool to see. Another high point. I'll go for 3 high points. I think that's only fair.
Okay.
I suppose, you know what, actually? When, and easily, I think, by far, the best scene of the film is when Peter loses the symbiote and you see, as a result, you see Eddie become Venom. That right. entire scene, that bell tower scene.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, my favorite scene in the film.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I do have a few. Again, I'll agree with Sandman, but I'll say in particular the scene where after he's been dematerialized or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, when he starts.
When that scene starts right in on the grains of sand, and they look like rocks because we're zoomed in that close. That zooms out, and as he becomes a man again, that entire sequence was beautiful.
Yeah, no, it was class.
So that's one for Sandman, definitely. Mm. One for James Franco, that last confrontation scene in the mansion.
Yeah.
I think that's my favourite moment in this film.
Okay.
Just because it is a little bit darker than what you normally would expect for Spider-Man, because obviously he's being infected.
Actually, yeah, if that's the case, then I'm going to say that's probably up there for me as well, because I'm going to say Venom, and essentially the becoming of Venom. Okay, so I'm gonna steal that one. Keep going.
That is a good moment.
Yeah.
For Venom, nothing. But for Eddie Brock, I do actually like the point where Peter gets him fired.
Yeah.
That's a good moment.
Mm.
That's a nice moment. And Peter, again, is still wearing a black costume. He's still influenced by this thing, so that was pretty good. Downsides, Mary Jane getting kidnapped again at the end. And you know what? Something we've not even mentioned so far.
Peter dancing?
Oh, no, I love the emo. I love the emo dance.
Fuck you.
It is so unbelievable.
Okay,
crap. You
know what? Do your downsides, all right?
It's crap that it's funny.
Do your downsides, because I'm going to talk.
Yeah. Right, anyway, right, the other major downside is the complete and utter waste that is Gwen Stacy, and Captain Stacy, for that matter.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention them, and that's why, because they're just pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my my main downsides, and the end action sequence is far too predictable, not all that great, and ends kind of bizarrely with Sandman floating off into the wind to...
Well, mine is obviously that fucking emo dance, that's up there, good God. Okay, we have to show Peter Parker as not... Oh, stop dancing. We have to show Peter Parker as not being a nice guy. He's no longer nice. He is bad news.
Wasn't this just the job?
How can we portray this? Let's get him to sleazy check out women on the street while he's dancing to no music.
In a black suit with his hair forward.
It was fucking little emo haircut. Ugh.
Yeah.
Dear Christ.
Isn't it supposed to be like the opposite montage from the second film when he's walking around being a dog?
When this is him walking around being a twat. My head. That kind of makes sense, I guess, but do it a little bit better. You know, look.
Well, I just like the fact that they just were like, so? Nah, sod that. Let's do it this way instead. Seriously, I did laugh.
I'm sure you did
and
laugh.
It's because it's so unbelievably crap and in your face that I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to laugh at it.
Mm.
So I don't hate it, sadly. I should, but I don't.
Yeah. Another problem I have with this film is the fact they threw 3 villains in. I think one is 4. Good. Pardon?
4.
Name them.
Sandman.
Yeah.
Venom.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call them.
New Goblin.
New Goblin.
Yeah.
And Green Goblin.
Green Goblin isn't in it.
Yes, he is. For like 30 seconds.
If you're saying Norman Osborn's...
He's not alive, but he's in the film. Just like at the end of the second film when he's in the mirror.
That doesn't count.
It does count. He's in the cast.
3 villains.
Okay.
That's just too much. So if 3 is too much, definitely 4 is. And to be honest, my main downside of the film, I have to say, is the film itself. I was so looking forward to this film, and it did not hit any kind of expectation that I had. It is like, I felt going into this how I felt going into The Dark Knight, and I just left, and I was just so disappointed. I was just so annoyed, and I was half excited and half pissed off when they announced Spider-Man 4, because I just, to be honest, in the back of my mind, I didn't think, and I'm kind of glad, because that film did not deserve, regardless how much money I made, it didn't deserve another movie. It didn't deserve another run.
Almost got one.
I reckon that's about it.
Yep.
So I think the best thing to do is I'd like to, since this is what we do now, we should rate each film out of 5 stars.
Yes.
So I'd like you to go first, if that's all right.
I will, but I want to do each of mine twice. I want to give you my initial reaction and then my reaction to them watching them last week when I recapped.
Okay, that seems fair.
Yeah.
Okay, let me do this again.
The ones what will count though will be the ones now, as opposed to the ones 10 years ago.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Want to tell you what I initially thought of it upon seeing them at the cinema, and then what I think of them now. So the first film, when I first saw it, I think I probably would have rated that a good solid 4.
Mm.
And obviously, I'm not going to cheat with half stars here.
No, we're not doing that.
Second film, again 4. Third film, I think 3. Nowadays, the first one 3. The second one, 4. The last one, 2.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say that first time I saw the first one, 4. Easily. Actually, you know what? No. Excuse me. First time I saw the first one, 5. Mm-hmm. I'm giving that a 5 because, you know, it was, as I said, you know, comic book fan of Spider-Man, loved the TV show. Seeing that, Spider-Man looked fantastic. First time I saw the second film, 5. First time I saw the third film, 3. Now, first film, 4. Second film, I'm still giving it a 5. I absolutely love Spider-Man 2. The fact that my only main criticism is a swinging point kind of show. That and a fucking girl getting kidnapped. And then with the third one, that's down to a 2. Thank you very much.